So, Joe Nicasio, you're now live on the camera, and I was wondering, you know, before I brought you on, like, hey, you know, am I supposed to still do the sponsorship message even though Joe Nicasio is the sponsor?
Sure.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Nicasio, and his phone's sliding and falling, and the angle is totally working for him right now. But seriously, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Nicasio is an awesome, awesome man, and I'm blessed to have him in my life. And, you know, we won't really go into too much of the accolades of what he's accomplished, but, you know, 25,000 hours invested in his craft, working with people like Les Brown, coaching him in business, you know, really designing something that takes a stand for people to live in their genius, to live their passion and make money off of it. And he created the Employee Escape Plan. And Joe is the current sponsor of our 12-hour personal development marathon. On every single interview, I share that Joe really knows how to help people bring in more customers and get more customers to pay you more money more often. So if that's something that you really want, freaking stick around, number one. But two, have a conversation with Joe, because his guidance, his wisdom, his lessons, his experience just this past weekend helped Burn It Up Coaching and me really pinpoint how do we convey and articulate our value. So if you've been fuzzy on that, if you have problems in your business, you know, going from, hey, we help everyone, to we help people who are self-sabotaging their success, eliminate self-sabotage, really experience emotional mastery and exude self-confidence, more self-confidence. Like, if you feel like there's room to grow in how you position yourself, if you feel like there's room to grow in your business and having it have the traction that you want, Joe is one of the best business problem-solving experts that I know, if not the best. So really stay tuned for this. Today we're going to be talking about delegation and how if you wait to delegate, if you hesitate, if you don't know how to start systemizing your business and teaching other people how to do it, whether that's, you know, bringing on interns for free, building a virtual team, building an actual team, hiring employees, whatever it might be, you know, if you don't do that, it's really going to hurt you long term, because the faster you can get into that mentality of being a business owner who owns a business, who delegates, who systemizes, who doesn't try to wear all the hats all the time, the faster you'll be able to get to that place of flow and freedom. Speaking of flow and freedom, Joe, before we start diving into delegation, the theme of today is flow, hustle, and flow. So I want to hear what your distinction is between having things be all about the hustle, all about the burning it up, all about drive and build and kind of that masculine energy, as well as the side of things that are more about the flow state, more about creation, more about attraction, manifestation. I'm curious, like, what's your perspective on those two dichotomies?
Sure. You know, we've been taught to go, 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 chase, 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 you know, go after it, go after it. And, you know, make things happen. And there's some, you know, there's some wisdom in that. But there's also this other side where you allow things to happen and like God will reveal the next step to you as you keep going. So there's this ability to move forward by putting your foot on the gas, but there's also this ability to watch the landscape and see what evolves in front of you. And that actually ties in really good to the idea of delegation, because we get this idea, you know, that we got to hustle, hustle, hustle. We got to do everything ourselves. In order to do things right, you got to do it yourself. If it is to be, it's up to me. And you know, that's really good for a startup business when you first get started. Look at you. It's your determination that's going to create a business. And there is this idea of hustle, but, you know, there's this hustle 24/7. Anybody that says they hustle 24/7, I say, bullshit, okay? Because I sleep, and I presume other people sleep too. And yes. So... and you know what? If you hustle 24/7, you're just going to be wiped out. You're going to be exhausted. And so I've actually come up with the phrase. I'm thinking about branding it as hustle wisely.
Mm.
Hustle wisely. You know, I'm really all about, you know, it's a good idea to rest until your battery's charged, and then do some bursts.
Yep.
You know, burst while you're at a full charge, and you know, you can recharge your batteries and then do some bursts and be really effective. Or what a lot of people do is they just work to the point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
And that's just not sustainable. It's not. You know, I have a friend who finished producing a movie this last week, and he called me on Sunday night, and he wanted to go party. And he's like, oh, we'll meet at this place at 9:30 and, you know, up in Hollywood. And it's like, okay, I could kind of do that. But then it was like, I get a call at like 10 o'clock. It's like, we're not there. We're going to be at this other place in Studio City. And then I got another call like 30 minutes later. It was like, we're going to be in this place in Inglewood. It's like, dude, it's Sunday night. And you might be able to go all night on a Sunday night, but I have, you know, I've got to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get major stuff done on Monday.
Right.
So I can't pull those 24-hour kind of, you know, I got to keep my responsibility, and my rest is just as important as my work.
Yeah, and, you know, I can echo what you just shared about that story, because I asked you if we could do work together on a Sunday, and you're like, dude, Sunday's like my rest day. I'm like, Joe, I got a schedule on trying to fit you in. Let's make it happen. And you're like, no. And not saying you're not flexible, but like you really prioritize taking care of yourself, you know, and you definitely fit me in every other time. Like there's certain things, boundaries, right? Boundaries as a business owner, boundaries as an entrepreneur, that are so important to maintain. And that also goes into this delegation topic as well, because if you can delegate and have the boundaries of knowing when to stop moving, like when to stop encroaching into these different topics and areas that you can delegate to your team or trust to your team, then like that's true peace, you know, staying in that genius zone. So what else have you found about, you know, delegation, Joe? What can you really teach our audience today about being masters at delegation?
Well, the first thing is I've had difficulty, you know, I had difficulty with this for a long time. I recently hired a company to delegate my automation and a lot of my design work. And I found a place that for $249 a month, and they do unlimited tasks, you know, one at a time. Mm-hmm. It usually takes them 3 to 4 days per task. And I got to tell you, you know, delegating and having team, and it's very uplifting. Doing everything yourself can be exhausting. And, you know, I know what it's like. You know, we're entrepreneurs. We are trying to do everything ourselves. You know, I delegated my website design this last time, like about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And it was great because they did a better job than I could have done it myself. Okay. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And, you know, you want to start looking at, like, if you're making, you know, $100 an hour, why should you be doing, you know, $8 an hour tasks? You know, so, you know, our growth is a little bit, you know, we're in this, we're creating a business, we're working our butts off, we're doing as much as we can ourselves, and the whole process is a little bit messy. Transition is messy, you know, and the more our business grows, the more demands we have on ourselves, the more we have demands we have on the business. Mm-hmm. And we start making these lists, like I should do this and I should do that. You know, great marketing coaching, you know, very simple, is make a list of all the stuff you should be doing that you're not doing. Prioritize them and start doing those things. Mm. And we all have that list of things that we should be doing that we're not really doing.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is if we don't delegate, we're living in complexity. And I have this saying that simplicity is godly and complexity is the devil. You know, it's just, I really like to live in a drama-free zone and a low stress zone. And the more I have to take on all the burdens of everything myself, the more you get overwhelmed. So there's complexity and there's overwhelm. And what all that leads to is exhaustion. Leads to exhaustion. Doing everything yourself leads to exhaustion. One of the things I realized, Chris, is that I'm the bottleneck. I am my own worst enemy. I can't do everything. I only got 24 hours in the day, and I can't hustle 24/7 because I need my 8 hours sleep. I need to recharge my batteries. And so, you know, there's two kinds of delegation. You can delegate to system, and you can delegate to human. Now, in my case, the company I just hired, I am delegating them to the humans to put together my automation.
Your system, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm creating the system, but they're the ones that are rolling up their sleeves and doing it. And it's just so delightful to have people that I can delegate to that, you know, within about a business day, they get back to me and say, okay, we need this and this to complete this task. And then I get them stuff, and 3 days later, 4 days later, it's done.
That's awesome.
And then a couple of revisions. So we want to be able to delegate to system, and we also want to delegate to people. Now, a lot of people, the first step that they do is they hire a virtual assistant, and that's good. You know, there's a place for that. Especially, you know, maybe they can make phone calls for you, they can send emails for you, a lot of the routine things. The way I see it, there's two reasons to hire somebody. You can hire them for the hands-on stuff, and you can also hire them for the brains.
Mm-hmm.
So the company that I'm using, and I'll give a link here in a minute, is Automation Agency. And let's see if I can paste the link in. Let's see if I can find you here. I know you're here. I pay them $250 a month. And it makes me so happy that they get stuff done for me.
Yeah.
It's like I feel like I'm not doing all the heavy lifting anymore. I feel like I have help, and it lightens my load.
Yeah.
That is an affiliate link. It's not that big of a deal, but Automation Agency. So what do they do? I send them, I need a landing page for a webinar, and I need that to be hooked up to my GoToWebinar integration. They make all that stuff work. Ninja stuff behind the scene.
Yeah.
I have a Saturday morning coaching call. Well, I wanted to create a system to email and text message them 15 minutes before the call every week. Boom, it's done. Let's get back into this thing. You know, you want to either delegate to human, or you want to delegate to automation. In this case, I'm getting my automation done through humans that specialize in that. So if you're working with Entreport, or you're working with Infusionsoft, you're working with ActiveCampaign, they're not just typical virtual assistants, but they specialize in this automation stuff. And wow, what a time saver. Now, one of the things that's really cool is I only pay them $250 a month. I think their business model is, you know, if we have 100 people paying us $250 a month, that's like 25 grand a month. And then part of the idea here is we're using what's called geo-arbitrage, meaning, in Tim Ferriss's book, 4-Hour Workweek, he talks about, receive money in dollars, live on pesos, and pay people in rupees.
Yep.
So, I can hire somebody halfway around the world and pay them $250 a month, and for them, that's a really good deal because, like, U.S. dollar is worth a lot. So,
right.
Also, by doing this, I don't have to be the guy behind the scenes doing the tech work. I can spend my time in front of the camera, on the stage, coaching clients, doing those high ticket activities, and it makes a big difference. And today it's even easier than ever because we have, everybody's got a smartphone now, and we've got the cloud computing. So it's very easy to say, I need this stuff done, upload it to somebody that's in another part of the world. They get it done, they upload it, and it's like, oh, it's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is start, when you go to delegate, I like this idea that, what is Santa Claus's secret weapon? Santa Claus has elves.
Mm-hmm.
He delegates. Okay. So one of the things you want to do is just start making an inventory. What's the stuff I need to get done? What's the stuff I need to get done in my marketing? What are things I need to get done in my sales? What are things I need to get done in my physical health? What are things that I need to get done in, we're all familiar with the to-do list. You know, we need to make a big, giant to-do list of every area of our life and every area of our business and what needs to be done in all the different areas, and then what needs to be done annually, what needs to be done quarterly, what needs to be done monthly, what needs to be done weekly, what needs to be done daily. And then once you get this list of all this stuff that needs to be done, this is where you cross out the word to-do list and you change it to delegation worksheet. And you look at every single thing on that list, and it's like, does this have high payback if I do it? Does it matter if I do it or if someone else does it? You know, and some things you cannot delegate to someone else. Like, you're the only one that can really do it. Right. And those are things that are really in your genius zone. You want to live in your genius zone. You want to live to your absolute strengths. We want to use virtual assistants. We want to leverage that. But delegation isn't just about virtual assistants. It's about, like, you know, my friend Michael Levine, and it, you know, I think he's kind of downsized his business a little bit, but he's got a big, giant, you know, Beverly Hills PR firm. And at any given time, he used to have like 100, you know, interns working for him for free.
Wow.
You know, and he would, you know, he'd buy them meals and, you know, he had like teams of two or three interns that would go see movies. You know, he's big in the Hollywood publicity arena, and he doesn't have time to watch every movie, but he needs to know what's going on. So he would actually have two or three interns go to see the new movie, write a little report, come back, and then just give him a brief on it so he was up to speed about what the movie's all about. Now, why would somebody want to be an intern? Well, it's work experience. It can give you college credits. If you do a good job, it can, you know, actually be a nice thing to put on your resume. You can make industry contacts. It can actually give you a taste of what it's like to work in that industry. And if you perform really well, it could turn into a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, you need to have your car washed. Well, do you wash it yourself? That doesn't seem like the best use of your time. You could roll into the car wash. You know, you could use one of those little coin things, or you know, you can pay a neighbor kid $5 or $10, you know, and make completely rock their world. They're looking for an extra $5 or $10, and, mm-hmm. and you can like really put a smile on their face by letting them help you and you help them back. So you can exchange favors. You can barter. There's little things, you know, if I help you, you know, if you can help me in this way, I can do something for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, but here's the thing is when you got your technology working and you got your team working and you got your hacks working, it gives you an advantage that you can start really propelling yourself in your business. And that's exactly what's going on. I've been working hard to propel myself in my business, and I was doing everything. And now I've brought in a team. I brought in some people to delegate to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because I've let go of that attaching and that feeling like I have to do it all myself, I have gained so much liberation and freedom and growth in my own business.
Yeah. You know, I really can resonate with that, because especially about delegating and like expanding, right? When I was putting up inspirational posts on my Facebook, and I brought on someone to really help me out with that and post it automatically and post it to different groups, etc. And so I brought this person on, and I would have to, you know, create and preload and get everything completed so that she could put it out on my social media for me. And this caused me to get so efficient with my time and like time block versus every day creating, every day posting, every day, et cetera, et cetera. And it really allowed me to free up a lot of time. And so I'm so grateful for that. And it started teaching me more about how to delegate, more about how to do that. And now, I think because of that experience, it's opened me up to be able to delegate two of the big things that I'm doing right now, which is audio and video editing for this 12-hour marathon, and then the blog post creation and creating all the content, making sure that everything's in alignment, pulling it from the Google Forms that we use to collect information and putting it exactly where it needs to go. And I've also noticed that when I take the time, I was like really resistant to taking the time to develop the system. Once the system's developed, I can just hand it off to whoever and they'll be up to speed by just following the process of the outline, of the teaching, whatever I use to teach it. You know, I did it myself. I did one example. I said, here's what I want, here's what I don't want, and I give that to people, and people get it. So just keep developing those systems of teaching. I was really resistant to it at first, but it's like, okay, just get it done once, and then you'll have it, and then you can just hand it off so easily to people and trust that it'll get done right.
Yeah, there's a program called, I think, Camtasia. There's a little baby version of it called Jing. Hmm. And, like, if there's something you do on the computer, you can do it on the computer, and it'll record your voice and watch your mouse and record a video of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you can pass that off, like, here's how to do it. Here's a three-minute video on how to do it. And now they have the template of how to do it.
Yep.
And save just a boatload of time. Hmm. But, you know, what's the best part, what's it do for you to know that you've got somebody that you can offload that to?
Man, I'm just like, I'm still at the very beginning of it, but I know once things are really smooth and working with it, it allows me to be free to focus on other things. Cause like right now it's the process is right now, every night before I go through this video editing process, you know, I have the video, the raw footage downloaded. I video edit it, I audio edit it, I write the post. And it's just like this last minute, gotta do it again. And now I can just like create the process once, give it to these guys who are going to be helping to create and build this stuff on behalf of me. And then I get peace. I just know that it'll get done correctly, knowing that there's a team of people who want me to succeed, and knowing that they want to produce quality work, knowing that they want to get it right, is just so reassuring. And just less stress, less anxiety, more space to be able to stay in that flow versus always rushing, always hustling, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you're on a mission with Burn It Up Coaching to, you know, really be a top world-class coach.
Yes.
And to really, you know, have a business that thrives. And, you know, you're super busy with your mission.
Yeah.
And other people see your mission and they want to be part of it. And mm-hmm. so like to give them something to do, it's like they got the time on their hands that you don't have. And mm-hmm. then they do something like, hey, I'm part of the Burn It Up Coaching movement. Okay. So what's the best part about having, you know, that team in place?
Yeah. The best part, I think what you said right there, just, I want to speak to that real quick, is knowing that it's a movement that's worthwhile has been really a growth space for me to step into. Like owning my value has been a super intense journey for me personally. You know, there's people out there who can just go sell left and right and you know, like get people involved in their programs and they just like own their value. For me, it's like one of my challenges is I give so much. I want to give so much value. I have a desire to give so much because there was stuff in my past that made me feel like I had to overcompensate, that made me feel like I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't enough. And so I like showed up as this massive contribution, massive energy. And so I've been healing that part of myself. And now I'm at this place where it's like, dude, I own my value. And it's like, I see it manifesting because there's people who want to join the movement and contribute and give their time even without pay, you know? And that was like a mind boggle in itself. Like what? These people want to like help out without even getting paid? Like that's awesome, you know? So really it just has me show up as the leader that I know I can be, has me develop my leadership skills. And the best part about all that is, you know, I'm really becoming the person that I want to be, number one. Like I'm so proud of myself and who I'm becoming and building a team, building a great leader. But also I get to help more people. I really get to impact people's lives with this reach, with this system, with this experience. Like it's an experience that people are stepping into, a new life experience and perspective, and we're creating that. We are authoring that reality.
Yeah, and if you spend time doing all that video editing and you spend all the time doing all those meme posts, it steals away from you being in front of people making that difference.
Yep.
Yep. So, like, what's it take to delegate? The first thing you want to do is start to realize, like, first of all, you want to declare your expertise. I am the world's greatest expert at fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Now, I'm the world's best business problem solver. I'm the world's best business coach. Okay. Okay. So that's my strength. So everything that's outside of that, just because I'm good at something doesn't mean I should do it. Okay. And so you want to start looking at like, okay, there's, you know what, I can design a website, but I'm not really the best designer. You know, I just because I can doesn't mean I should. You know, I can get in and you know, figure out how to link up a GoToWebinar with my Entreport account, but that doesn't mean I should. Right. So I want to start identifying what's the highest, best use of my time and live in that space and then delegate as much of the rest as I can. And then what I want to do is like those activities that need to be done, I want to like, again, systematize them, clone them, you know, put them into a box, like here's a procedure that needs to be done. And I liked what you were saying about, like, if you can just teach, you know, put together the teaching for your people to do it, then they can do it. There's this idea at McDonald's, you know, McDonald's doesn't hire the brightest people to do the best job. They have, what they do is they have superior systems so ordinary people can get consistent results. Mm. So the idea is there are no bad people, there are only bad systems. Wow. And so when you get to the degree, it's like, well, you know, I delegated, it didn't turn out. It's like, instead of looking at like what's wrong with the people, it's like what's wrong with the system? How can I improve the system so that they can, you know, put what needs to be done on the input and what needs to happen comes out of the output. And it's really a function of the system and not the people.
I do want to request or kind of question that, challenge that, because I've heard people also say that when there's a business problem, when there's a problem in the business, usually it's a problem with the people, right? Like, let's say there's an entrepreneur, there's a leader who's running the business. People say that, like, often we go to the process, we go to the sales process, we go to the marketing process, but usually it stems from a belief process, a belief, you know, self-sabotaging process or something that's there in their subconscious, in their psyche, in how they approach business or the culture or the values, and things are not lining up. Things are not in integrity with what they know to do kind of thing. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think when we build a business around people, you know, people will move on and we got new people in and we, it's very easy to point the finger at the people. Mm. Okay. Yeah. If we have really good systems in place, when we bring new people in, we just plug them into the system that's already proven to work. Now here's the deal. When you start a business, I work with startup entrepreneurs. By definition, when you start a business, there are no systems. Mm. So there is this part where you need to create the systems, and that requires a lot of thought. That requires great power. But now if I put together a really solid system, I should be able to say, here, Chris, here's the system, and you should be able to get consistent results out of it. Now, if you're not getting consistent results out of it, I can look at how you're interacting with the system, and I can also look at the system itself. I went to a career counselor at my church, and he said, Joe, it's like, you know, nobody's going to hire you. You know too much. He says, when you get a job, most people want to hire a cookie cutter. They have a cookie cutter position. They want a cookie cutter job, and they want you to show up and just, you know, do your job like we designed it to be, because somebody else designed the system. He says, the problem is number one, is you look at any system and you want to make it better. If you see a broken system, you want to fix it. And if you can even build, you know, systems from scratch. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the way corporate America has designed things is you show up and this is what you do. And we don't want you to think too much, because we've created the box in which you live in.
Yep.
And so there is a certain amount of, you know, I'm going to create my business by design based on I'm a human being and I want to create these systems. But I'm just telling you right now, if you build your company on people, you're going to get inconsistent results. If you build it on systems, you know, I like being around bright people. I really do. Yeah. Okay. But I also know it's my obligation that if I want them to function in my business a certain way, I need to provide them a path.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. So I guess the core is, if the people at the top are not in integrity, if the people at the top have mindset issues, then that will like trickle down. That will affect the effectiveness of systems, because the people leading are maybe not empowering the systems to be in integrity or to work the way that they were designed. And maybe the systems themselves might be designed effectively, but if the people at the top have mindset issues, you know, they're negative towards their employees, then the employees might find it difficult or challenging to follow the systems. But ultimately, if the systems are designed in an effective way, then, you know, theoretically they should be able to be run by the employees in an effective way.
Yeah, now the good news is I work with entrepreneurs, so there is nobody above them. It's like, when I talk to Chris Burns, I know he's the head of his business.
Right.
Okay, so there's no, you know, the accountability is with Chris Burns. You're the business. Now we need to create a way to make your business work. And one of the things you start to realize, I started to realize that I am my own bottleneck. I am the biggest obstacle here. There's only so much of me to go around. I can't be an expert at marketing and programming and design and all this other stuff. So I need to focus on where is my genius zone. And for all the other stuff, I need to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, not all activities are equal. There's activities that you can do that have no payoff at all. And then there's like leverage, like little activities that have a big payoff. And so what you want to do is find those high leverage things and focus on those and then like kind of dump everything else. Do the little things that make a big difference. And when you find those little things, and those are the things to delegate.
Yeah.
Beautiful. The third point here is to, once you do this inventory and you figure out like, what am I good at? What do I need help with? How can I remove myself as a bottleneck? It's like, now who can I bring in? And there's, my coach, Taki Moore, says, you know, you need to harness heads and hands, meaning, we either hire somebody for their brains or we hire for the labor.
Right.
And labor is low cost. And you know, when we're hiring brains, we'll pay high cost for that because it's worth it.
Yeah.
So start thinking about who can I get to do a lot of these routine things in terms of hands, and who has expertise that I don't have that if I bring that expertise in, it could be a game changer for the whole way I do things.
That's beautiful. Okay. Yeah.
And, Jim Rohn tells this story about, there's this pharmacy, and, you know, they didn't have a sign that says, "We train people to be nice." It says, you know, we don't train people to be nice. We hire nice people. And what a great shortcut. You know, if you're going to build a business and you're going to have people around you, hire the smile, hire people that are uplifting and positive and boost your environment. It just, and then when it comes to delegating, you know, it's really about, are you going to delegate to a human or are you going to delegate to a machine? And if you're going to delegate to a machine or automation, are you going to do that yourself or are you going to delegate to a human to put that machine together? So the first thing to do is start looking at what are your daily tasks, weekly tasks, monthly tasks, quarterly tasks, etc. And what are the priorities of these? And then at that point, what's the thing that I'm going to delegate that'll make the biggest difference? Now, when you delegate to somebody, there's some really powerful language. First of all, you want to always acknowledge the people that you're delegating to for the good work that they're doing. People are silently begging to be acknowledged. And so it's really important that if you want to have a loyal team, that you actually treat them with acknowledgement and respect and appreciation. The second language thing that's really important when in terms of delegating is the language of clear next steps and by when. So the clear next steps for you is you're going to, put together this landing page and you said you'll have it by Tuesday of next week. Great. And I told you I would provide you the copy or the language for it. And I would get that to you by tomorrow afternoon. Okay. Now, why is it so important to get clear next steps and by when's? Because if there's no clarity, everybody's wondering and there's this cloud of ambiguity, like who's supposed to do what when? Mm-hmm. And so when you have that clarity and you've got these basic agreements in place, okay, Chris, what are your clear next steps and by when? Here's my clear next steps and by when. There's a very simple contract going on, and I understand where you're at and you understand where I'm at. Mm. Wow.
That useful? Yeah, it's valuable, and especially the clear next steps. So much gets lost in translation, and I think that's one of the biggest things that people, they won't do delegation because it takes so much work, or it could take work. It could take more time to be able to explain things clearly. But think about you developing your leverage in life. Think about you developing your capacity to change and transform lives, to deliver value to people. It is essential to get comfortable, to fall in love, to build this epic relationship with being able to delegate, with being able to explain things to people. And, you know, I really feel bad for a lot of the, like foreigners, right? People who English is not their first language, right? And this would apply to me if I went over to you know, Europe or Asia or wherever that has another language. I feel bad, and it's like an extra hurdle because they get really good at doing stuff on their own, but they aren't very satisfied when it comes to delegating because it's difficult to explain that to people usually. And I think getting comfortable with that process of explaining to people and having them get what it is that you're asking for and having them produce the result that you want, like if that's not happening for you or you're not comfortable with that, really that's so critical to just take that on, that there's some new way to look at it. There's some new perspective. There's some place to stand from. You know, go read E-Myth, Michael Gerber, whatever the freaking heck it takes to be able to get comfortable with that, to eat, sleep, and breathe delegation, giving tasks away, giving your team your trust, your ability to say, I know you got this, team, thank you. I'm going to make sure I do my thing over here and, you know, create for all of us to be able to be more successful. So I think that's so critical. And I know for me, like I'm speaking straight to myself and my soul, that being able to just let stuff go, being able to create clear step-by-step instructions and say, here you go, let me know what else you need, let me know what's not clear so that I can be the best delegator, the best leader, the best leveraged builder of my reality and impact and value in the world that I possibly can.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, this idea of delegation is really central to leadership. We mm-hmm. haven't really talked about that, but it is. It's central to leadership. Leadership is the ability to not only have a vision for people, but to get things done through the team that you're working with.
Yeah.
And if you can't delegate, you know, you're not going to be a very effective leader. So I got some bullets here on how to do this whole delegation thing well. Would you like
sure.
to hear?
Yeah, absolutely.
The first one is, like, if you're going to delegate somebody, you know, tell them why. What's the why behind the assignment? Like, what's the point? Why does this matter? What's the ultimate goal? So this will help them get a good context of how this fits in with the big picture.
Okay.
The next thing is, you know, write out the process to complete the assignment. You know, either write it out or create a video or create a checklist. Here's the process. First you do this, then you do that. And, you know, so that they have a very clear instruction manual to put together and complete the assignment you've given them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's really helpful is to provide examples of past completed assignments. Mm-hmm. You know, here's 10 examples of how we did this before. And you can use that to get ideas. And then you want to set a clear agreed upon deadline for review and assignment. So this is that clear next steps and by when.
Mm-hmm.
And when you send somebody to do something, even though you're asking for something completed, you know, when they bring you something, it's a draft. It's always a draft. When I send something to somebody, it's always a draft. It's subject to revision and improvement and correction.
Yeah.
And so if somebody brings you something and it's less than perfect, then it's like, okay, it's a draft, but we need to make some changes. Go back and make these revisions.
Hmm.
And then provide, you know, whatever resources and tools they need. So, like in the case of what I'm doing with Automation Agency is I send them tools. I send them like, here's what I want you to build, and I want you to build it inside my Entreport account. So I provide them the tool, and they log in and, mm-hmm. and build it out. And then communicate your expectations about reporting. Like, you know, I want progress reports of where things are going.
Yeah.
And then there's an idea in this whole delegation thing that even though you're delegating, even though you delegate something, you're still 100% responsible for, like, your business. And you know, so there needs to be a little degree of oversight. Mm. But before I go into the oversight, any questions about what we just talked about as far as, like, just how to delegate well?
No, I think it's pretty simple. You know, the why is important. I think, you know, getting that buy-in, getting clear on, like, why you're doing it in the first place, I think that eliminates 90% of where people might get messed up. You know, it's like the vision. Like, what is this supposed to do, right? Versus just a process, hey, do this, 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 and this. And people are like, okay, I'll do it. But if it goes off track, there's less of a, what's the end result, why I'm doing this, that will get them back onto the right track. Or if they have questions, they can filter the questions through that why versus, I don't know why I'm doing this, but hey, I'm doing the process, I'm going to do the best that I can. The why of the end result is really powerful. So I love that. And the clear expectations, clear instructions, just essential, you know, and such a great practice to get good at.
Yeah, you know, Dan Kennedy tells a story about a pizza restaurant. It's like, you know, they make this long detailed list. You know, you got to clean the bathroom mirrors. You got to clean the floor. You got to clean the couch. You know, it's a big long list, and yet there's still things that weren't being done. Mm. And what they did is they threw that away, and they replaced it with, your job is to make this the cleanest, shiniest, you know, pizza place in town.
Yeah.
So that when people come in here, they feel comfortable eating off the floor if they had to. You know, it's so clean.
Wow.
And so it's like, if you can just give them the vision, your job is to make this place the cleanest place in town, then you don't have to put all those detailed checklists in because it includes everything.
Mm.
And so sometimes we can grind with too much detail and get people caught up in the minutia that they actually miss the big picture.
Yep.
So then how do you do oversight? You know, oversight's a really important part of this thing. And you need to be careful because you can... what do they call that when you manage, what's the term that's used, micromanaging? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to micromanage. You don't want to be too much involved to inhibit people. Like, people need, you need to give them the freedom to do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, 80% of delegation is to give it to someone else, but 20% comes back on you on oversight, which may be the most important part of delegation. It's just making sure that whatever comes back to you is within your standards.
Hmm.
The first thing is have standards.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'd rather see somebody have high standards and fall a little short than like have low standards or no standards and get what they're aiming for. So first thing that you want to do in terms of oversight is set some midway project check-ins. You know, so, you know, if it's a 3-week project, you know, about a week, week and a half, it's like, how are you doing on that project?
Hmm.
You know, I just want to, you know, I know it's not supposed to be done yet, but I just want to check on your progress. And you know, there's this idea of BAMFAM, BAMFAM, book a meeting from a meeting. So you have your first meeting and you delegate, you know, you don't surprise them a week and a half later saying, you know, I'm checking in on you. Actually, from the first delegation, it's like, okay, this is 3 weeks. In about a week and a half, I will be calling you. What's a good time? Boom, get it on the calendar.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to play a phone tag to get on each other's calendars.
Or use a scheduler. Brilliant. Brilliant solution.
Yeah. But you still want to get the, you know,
still
conversation.
Wanna. Yeah, totally.
And then you want to ask for some kind of, you know, progress reports, maybe a weekly progress report. And then one of the things you want to get is, you know, like a notification when something's actually complete. So, by the way, you know, David Fagan says happiness equals completion, or happiness equals, you know, finishing. And when you finish things, you know, you can feel good about it and they can feel good about it. Wow, I cleared that one off of my table. Now my load has been lightened. That is the cure for overwhelm, is completion, completing what needs to be done. Then those things get cleared off your desk. And then maybe having a weekly oversight appointment.
Cool. So I was going to ask about completion. Do you think a lot of people are falling off track with that? Do you think leaders are delegating too much, overwhelming their team? Do you think they have their team switch focus too much? Do you ever see that? Or is it, you know, just make sure to focus on completion, celebrate completion, and make that a big part of the team?
You know, I think that one of the biggest challenges that I personally had to go through is like, what, you know, figuring out what specifically am I going to delegate?
Yeah.
And the reason I do delegate is because, you know, these things will get completed quicker if I get some help on it. And so the whole purpose of delegation is to create completion. But, you know, I need 20 things completed, but I, you know, I should only really be focusing on 3 of them, and the other 17 should go out to my team. Can you delegate too much? Yeah. Can you delegate things that are really like, why the heck did that get delegated? It's like, why are we even doing that in the first place? You can delegate a little too much trivia to people. So I think you need to really take some time and ponder and meditate, like, what are the areas that I want help with? What are the areas that I'm going to have to delegate? You know, so in my work with Automation Agency, I delegated the task of building my membership site. And they are getting it done, and they're getting it done fast. I've delegated, you know, some, you know, I've got a lead magnet that I created, but, you know, it looked pretty good. But when I gave it to a professional designer, it looks really good now. It's slick. You know, and I just, now they've created a landing page for that, and it looks really nice. So the purpose of delegation is to get things done faster. And I don't want to overwhelm people. The people I'm working with at Automation Agency, they do one task at a time. Okay. And it's my job to be, you know, wise about what tasks I'm actually asking them to do. So there is a leadership responsibility of putting some forethought into what you're actually sending off to your team.
Beautiful, man. I'm just like, I'm taking so many notes on things that are popping up, ideas. This is gold, Joe. And I think no matter where people are at, like, this is the space to really be living in of, you know, where am I at in my business? I think it's always a great time to start delegating if nobody has, you know, like, regardless of where the business is, even if it's, you know, business is still coming into this conceptual place, you can still have people organize data. You can still have people do research on the marketplace. If you're still developing your idea, you can have people create content, even if it's, if you don't know what the specific direction is. Obviously, I think the more clear we are on that, the better. But, like, really, there's no time that's too early to start delegating, and you can start really risk-free in a lot of different ways with the with hiring interns or hiring people or bartering with people who have services that you want, and you have something that they can value or offer or whatever it might be. Figure out ways to create that value exchange.
Yeah, I got a couple other, you know, clues here on the delegation. You know, before you even start delegating with somebody, you want to really connect with whoever it is you're delegating with. You know, you want to actually have a little bit of time where you can get connect with them. Like, what is your favorite food? What is, you know, what are your hobbies? What is your background? Here's mine. Like, let's share a little bit to get to know each other as human beings, okay? And then, like, having a conversation, like, these are the things that I need the most help with. You know, these are the reasons I'm bringing you in, is these are the things that you're going to be working on. And then we need to really, like, understand, like, what's the best way to communicate? Because we have so many ways to communicate now. We have text, and we've got Voxer, and we've got Skype, and we've got email. And it's like, if I want to, you know, if I want to be notified about things, I want a text message so I don't have to drop what I'm doing. If a phone call comes in, I have to drop what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so, like, here's my preferred way of, like, letting you know what needs to be done. And here's how I want you to communicate back with me in a way that isn't going to tick me off. And, you know, and I want to communicate with you in a way that works for you as well.
It's so funny that you say that because in my business, how we're delegating right now, I'm with my business partner, Wayne, who you know, Joe, but everyone else who's listening, Wayne is very old school. He is not a super big fan of technology, and he likes things that are like said to him in person, like the phone must be picked up and he must be talked to on the phone for things to like really make any kind of progress. And how I've been raised is super technological. I chat in forums. I'm really great at conveying messages with text. And even sending him what seems like the simplest, most explicit, like, text instructions, he still has to call me and be like, I don't know what you mean, you know? Like, or say I don't pick up the phone. He's like, dude, I don't really know what you mean by this text. Or you mean I'm supposed to do this, this, and this? And it's like, dude, no. Like, I said it so clearly in the text message. But I'm also working with our team who was mentored by Wayne. So Wayne has mentored two of these individuals who are joining the team. And, you know, I think that they have a style of preferring picking up the phone and talking to them as well. So it's just interesting to find a team that has a good balance, number one, of different communication styles, but also it flows. You know, how do you create that flow with the communication? You know, maybe it's through sending messages with Voxer. Maybe they need to hear the words to be able to get the tone to be able to understand that. So far, I've been doing texts with them, and there's been a couple miscommunications. So it's like, what's going to really work the best? It's going to be the most leverage that people are going to get, and it's going to be super smooth and easy and as effortless as possible.
By the way, there's a tool that I know a lot of people are using. It's called Slack.
Yeah.
And for Teams. And so, you know, you have your emails and your text messages and all that, but it's within the Slack system. So if it's work related, it's on that Slack. So that's like the bat phone or the hotline or all the work related stuff comes through Slack. So it doesn't get mixed in with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you bring up a good point too. Like, so Wayne likes to talk on the phone. He likes like a real conversation. So, you know, what you can't do is like, you know, do those meetings on the fly. You need to schedule them. You know, do you do it last minute? Do you do it in advance? Or is there, you know, if you set up like here's a certain time of day when we communicate, it works a lot better because now you're in sync.
Yeah.
So the first thing is you actually like need to connect with this person that you're going to be delegating to. And then the second thing is like, what's their role? Like, what activities are they going to be doing with marketing, or what activities are they going to be doing with sales, or what activities are they going to do to serve your clients better? Or what activities are they going to do to help the team? Or what activities are they going to do with technology? Or what activities are they going to do with finance or admin or taxes or whatever? So you got to connect with them, and then you kind of need to like shape, well, what's your role in the big picture and what's my role in the big picture? And then what we need to do is start establishing like, what are the rituals? Like, what are the first five things that I'm going to delegate to you? Or I'm going to delegate, I may delegate them to five different people, but you don't want to hit them with 5,000 things. You need to like, what are the top three?
Yeah.
And, you know, like if you could just have one person handling your scheduling, you know, just knowing your scheduling's handled. If you have one person just handling, making sure that emails are responded to, you know, it's just great if those things are handled. And then what you want to do is establish your rituals, like what you talked about. We talked about like Sundays. I time block Sundays. That's the Sabbath, you know. That's where I go and, you know, tune into like what is God's will, not just my will. That's my time to connect with God. And then, you know, every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I got my coaching call for my group. And those are really powerful sessions. So, you know, I time block, you know, Tuesdays and Thursday nights are karate class, you know, and so we want to kind of, you know, like what's the theme for this week or what's the theme for this quarter of what we're really focusing on? It might be webinar creation. It might be, but whatever it is, you have a theme of like what you're going to do in the next 90 days or this month. The theme for this month is blank, fill in the blank. And then, you know, you want to break out, like if there's routine tasks that need to be done, you want to create some kind of a grid of, you know, what needs to be done on scheduling, you know, what are some of the messages, like when somebody books an appointment, you know, what's the follow-up message, or, you know, what's your sales process? You know, what are the different kinds of emails that go out to our group? So there's a lot of different things you can delegate on. How are we doing on time? We're getting to the top of the hour, but what's been most valuable about this conversation about delegation today?
Just, you know, as you were talking, I was writing down a couple things about the next meeting that I have with my team, which is coming up on this Sunday in person. Thank God. I love meeting with people in person. It really makes a difference for me. And I know for some people that might not be possible, but I'm grateful to be meeting with them. And I came up with some questions because it's still a new team. I basically gave them their first task about 2 weeks ago. And this next meeting is going to be following up on what worked, what didn't work based on our delegation, what do we want to do differently in the future. You know, how long did these things take you? Because I don't really have a clear idea of how much time they actually invested into these things. I just gave them the task and said they'd be done in, you know, 2 weeks, whatever. And it's like, how long did it really take you? Is that an appropriate amount of time? Did it take too long? What can we do to simplify and shorten that process? So that was awesome. And then what you just said about the themes, I wrote that down. That's super powerful to get us all aligned on the why we're doing these things. And also we're going to be talking about goals for 2018 and, you know, what is it that we want to accomplish? What's the big overarching vision? And then just making sure that we're delegating effectively, giving people those clear expectations. I think for me, working on the actions, like what are the actions, what are the key points that have to be hit for this to be successful delegation? What's the why? What's the overarching? And then what's the key things that have to happen to know that we were successful?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. You've got a pretty good grasp of this. You know, the biggest part is just getting out of our own way, getting rid of our ego that we have to do everything ourselves, and breaking it into, you know, logical, sensible baby steps or baby chunks.
Yeah.
You know, we chunk it down and break it into baby steps. We can give our team a pretty high level of chance of success.
Yep.
So, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I just want to wrap up that, you know, if you want somebody to help you with your automation, I'm not the guy, but Automation Agency, I put a link in. They're great. I love these guys. $250 a month, and they could have charged me $1,000 for all the different projects I've already sent them.
Yeah.
And it's not costing me that. And the real power is, you know, they're overseas, and so American dollar goes a long way. They've organized a business model in such a way that they can bring in 25 or 50 grand a month and still make a great profit and really serve their clients. So they're not the only ones. You know, there's a lot of other places you can, you know, there's Fiverr there, you know, that's the super low end. There's guru.com, there's Elance.com. You know, if you look around, there are other, you know, virtual assistants and stuff. But I found particularly in this area of, you know, delegating to my automation team, wow, how uplifting is it? But
and $250 is like a great budget to get started with. You know, it's not going to break the bank, and they'll still be able to get a lot done for that amount of money. I think that's really cool. You know, if you want cheaper than that, then just go find an intern. You know,
and a lot of places are a lot more expensive than that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know, if you had a full time assistant, it could cost you $2,000 or $3,000 a month. You know, that's, you know, startup entrepreneurs typically don't have a budget for that. So when you can find like an inexpensive solution to get help, and, you know, it's like, what's cool about this is you're delegating, but you're not an employer in the traditional sense where you have all the tax liability. They're a 1099. It's like I pay them, they do a service, and that's it. Right. And I don't have, you know, if they slip and fall, it's not on my watch.
Yeah. Definitely a bonus. Definitely a plus. So, Joe, call to action. What do you want people to do next?
First thing is make a list of all the stuff that you need to do. And then second, like, look at that, everything on that list and see what can you prioritize. And if you need help with this, go to employeeescapeplan.com, schedule a time with me. I'd love to help you out. Let me buy you an hour of my time, but go to employeeescapeplan.com and you got to schedule it that way.
Beautiful. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Nicasio, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. He is the sponsor of the show, so I highly recommend, not just because of a personal standpoint, and I want Joe to succeed, and I want you to go there because I get to feel great because you get to start working with Joe Nicasio and really make a difference, but also because, like, you get to grow. You get to take a step forward, really develop and design your processes, your business into something that you really love and you love working on. And that's what Joe's really taught me. And to build something that works, is sustainable, and also has me be fulfilled. So, Joe, I really value all of your guidance on here, all the times you've been on the show, and who you are for the world. And it's the stand that entrepreneurs have a life that they love, and people to not be stuck under the burden or of like a job or working for the man, a life that they hate. You know, I think that's something that we're all about, is freedom and creating our reality. So keep helping people create their reality. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon, man.
See you soon.
All right. You take care.